if you're doing a full-time private school, like, you know, let's say Christian, you're probably not going to be part of a co-op because your days are going to be full. But if you're doing a part-time option or even a full-time homeschool option, then co-ops are on the table for you. So we're going to have Nitza coming up. Nitza, do you want to introduce yourself? Well, you guys come on up. All of you come on up. And then I'm going to have, you heard from the rest of our speakers, so you don't need to hear it again. But I am going to have Nitza introduce herself, her homeschooling journey, and why she's an expert on co-ops. Nitza, if you don't mind.
Okay, so my name is Nitza Esslinger. I am a mom of five kids, and my journey, I also went to Foothills School. My kids went to My kids went. Three of them went until my oldest was in fourth grade, and God moved on my heart to homeschool, and so I've homeschooled. My kids are very close in age. I had five in 6 years. And so they're like, brrr. And so it just became hard to be in school for me. And so I just brought them home and decided to do that. And I've loved it. I've now, my oldest is a junior in high school and attends Grossmont College. So it's been a really fun experience to learn how to be in charge of my kids' education.
Perfect.
That's it.
And can you give us a little bit about your co-op experience or why
Sure.
you're speaking on co-ops?
So when I was going to transition into homeschool, my best friend who has six kids, we decided, we were concerned, would our kids be weird, right? Like, are they going to have enough to do or whatever? And so we kind of just joined forces with another, with Mike's family, who the pastor who preached, who has six kids. So our co-op has 17 kids. Between us and we each took a subject and we kind of made it a little school. And then so we picked things like history and things that we didn't want to do alone, we did together. And then some of the things like math and English where kids were at different levels and stuff, we did separately. And so I've done that now for the whole time I've homeschooled.
Perfect. Okay, so we're going to open up to your questions. Hopefully you still have your questions with you. I'm going to come around. If you are comfortable reading your question, we would love for you to read it. If you're like, oh, no, I can't speak to a mic, give it to somebody else at your table and put them on the spot. They can read it. If all else fails, I will read your question for you. So does anybody have any questions that you discussed at your table that you feel like would benefit the whole group? I know you shared. Yeah, I know you have some because I was just talking to people.
I'm going to add that I'm under a charter school.
Just that was so one of my questions.
Yes. Sorry, I co-op under the charter school umbrella.
Yeah. So actually, that was one of the questions we were just discussing over there is when you are doing a co-op, obviously a full-time homeschool wouldn't work, but would each of you mind sharing what place a co-op has under each of the different options or could potentially have?
Under my option, it has a
lot
of places.
Would you mind reminding us what option you are?
Yeah, I'm with the charter school, so I work for Pacific Coast. But if you align with a charter, co-ops have all the place because you have the freedom to decide what you're going to do with your days and what curriculum you're going to use. So if you decide to do a co-op for 1, 2, 3, 4 days a week, that is completely up to you. The teacher alongside you will just be helping you to hit goals or help you decide curriculums for that co-op. I have lots of families that go 2 days a week to a co-op, and then I have some who are just in for like field trip co-ops. So they are learning history through hands-on things through San Diego. So they can be as intensive as you want them to be.
Will the charter schools pay for co-op membership for those that require fees?
No, unless they're a vendor. So like Courtney Matranga, for example, if you know her, she became a vendor under our charter. And then if you do become a vendor, then you can use your funds towards those type of schools, farm schools or co-op type activities. Because our vendors have to be fingerprinted and before we're sending our kids there, they need to make sure it's a safe place to be. So if they become a vendor, which onboarding a vendor is typically pretty easy, then you can use your funds.
So I co-op, I'm under this charter school, but I'm not signed up with her program. My co-op is something I created. So these are my friends and my kids' friends. And so we can use our funds, like at our co-op, we chose to pay for a vendor and she comes and teaches dance. And then we have a different person that comes and teaches like weightlifting and things like that for the boys. And so that's how we like kind of manipulate the system to work for us. But there's the co-op under her that you can sign up, but it would just be randomized. Do you understand? Like anybody that's under the charter school can sign up for that. And so it's a random group of people where mine is very specific because I say what comes in and out of my group. So you have that option.
Gina, do co-ops have any place, even in a part-time private?
For the most part, I'll say no. But you have a CUME file. So a CUME file follows you in your life. There are parents, unknown to us, that might pay and sign up for us, and we start a CUME file with that kindergartner, and they also sign up for a co-op. I don't really know. I mean, I'm asking you, Brittany, more. But Jen...
It doesn't happen anymore with us.
No. It so they're not allowed to. You're not supposed to have two CUME files.
Now that's a co-op. That's a co-op that is specifically a private school. If you have a co-op that's not considered a private school, mm-hmm. then they could.
So there's probably some kids in our school that have their parents pay for. They joined a charter homeschooling thing, but that charter has to have a CUME file, and so do we. So that's where it's sort of mucky. If it makes sense, or gray.
So you cannot dual enroll in a charter and a private school. They will find out.
Yes.
This was years ago.
Yep.
And but you can go to her school and then maybe on that Monday, Friday, have a co-op to help you do those homeschool activities. But you are a part of only her school.
Yeah, so you and a couple of friends could get together and decide your kids want to do their math homework together. Or
but as far as getting, I'm talking about funds. Mm-hmm. If you want those funds, no, you're not supposed to be enrolled in our school, period.
Thank you for answering that.
And we won't. They'll find out real quick.
Yes, we are way over that.
Yeah.
I was one of them, but it's been years since.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No. So if you are independently schooling your child and filing your own private school affidavit with the state, then yes, you can get together with other parents and create co-ops. You can... find also there are some places out there, you'll have to do your own research online, where you can hire teachers that can come teach in certain subjects. So again, that would be all out of pocket, as opposed to if you were in the charter school, they would, if they're a vendor with that charter school, then your child's funds that are allotted to your child could be used towards that that teacher to come in and teach that certain subject. But here you would be paying that out of pocket. Or you could just swap off with other parents. Okay, you're so good in English, you know, like, will you do the English for all of our kids? And I love doing science, and I'm going to put up the science labs and, you know, manipulatives and stuff like that, and I'm going to do science with all our kids. You know, things like that. That would be a cooperative in educating your children. At the bottom of that option page, there are some co-ops here in San Diego County that you could join, and there's multitudes of classes, subjects, you know, whether that's extracurriculars or the core subjects to sign your child up with. And maybe it's a way to make friends and meet other families of, you know, that are like-minded, and you make lifelong friends.
Okay, so for the PSP, some PSPs are record keeping only, and they may have a list of co-ops or just people who are getting together for field trips or whatever. They may have that list. For the other PSP, Heritage Christian School, we do have co-ops, and what a co-op means is the parent stays and the parent participates. It's parent participation. Families are there. Babies through 12th grade are there. And anybody that's in our school has had a background check and meets personally with Vicki Stramoen, who I am not. I'm Jane Richards. And so you know who your kids are with. I think that's a key that we're all trying to figure out. Who are our kids with? And if you are in a PSP, you're going to know that your kids are with, if you're with a Christian PSP, they're with Christians. And that's a really important thing. And also, we're all not experts. We're trying to do this homeschooling thing. We're not all experts in all subjects. And we need help. And our kids need to, our kids can thrive with being with their friends doing history co-ops or whatever. And I think that's really an important thing, too, for kids to learn to get along in a co-op setting and with each other and that kind of thing.
That's a great answer. Thank you, guys. Oh, yay.
All right. Do you want to stand?
No, no, whatever.
Okay. So you actually already answered the first part of my question, which is which option works best with different co-ops. But for those of us who know absolutely nothing, what exactly is a co-op? Is it an organized thing? Is it you're just getting together with friends? What exactly is co-op?
Okay, yeah, we have a lot to answer. That's a great question. And it doesn't have a very specific answer. Like Nitza said, it was just her friends that got together. And I had done the same thing. I had a friend who was great at history. Sure, take my boys and do history with your boys. Or it can be something that's very organized. And various teachers or various parents teach different things in different co-ops, and it's all in one place or that kind of thing. And it can be, or it can be very organic, like what Nitza did. So it's a kind of whatever you want it to be. I don't know.
There's a broad range of options within a co-op. It's teaching cooperatively with others, you know, and partnering together with them and educating your child. It's a great way to not feel so alone. You know, because you have a support system. And Gina, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't our private schools begin with some of the moms getting together, that in Heartland Christian School, saying we want to teach our kids Christian a Christian education, and they all got together, and then more people wanted to join, and it just got so big they said let's just make it a little school.
This is prior to Foothills, so it's Linda Hoffman and Linda Hayes actually working for a private school, and that private school shut down, and now they had nowhere to go, and so those two ladies actually got together and started a little miniature private school. So it wasn't, I mean, you could call it a co-op, but it actually people paid to come from the get-go. Okay. So it wasn't just gathering together. It was a small, but became a big dream. And really, it's out of that dream that the idea of even Foothills Christian School came.
Okay. Yeah. I'll answer. So our co-op is a very structured co-op. So we run it kind of like a school. And I wanted to say, I also, my kids attend Heritage. They did attend Heritage. They don't now because they're at Grossmont College, but my next two will attend Heritage next year, and we still have always run our co-op simultaneously. And so we run it to where the dads are involved. I thought that was important to mention. My husband teaches, and so does Mike Van Meter teach. And we try to do it the way we want. So a co-op can be what fits for you in your standard within your friends. One of the hardest things to mention about co-ops is finding people that parent similarly. So if you do it in the style that I do it, you would want to find more like-minded people, because parenting is going to be an issue, because where there's kids, there's parenting issues. So that's how it works. And so I mean, that's how I kind of was gathering initially, even though they were friends, we kind of committed to each other that we could talk about discipline issues up front. There's learning issues that come into play and so on. And so that's just an important piece to know, where when you do it like through a randomized group, you maybe aren't necessarily getting that tight. Do you know what I mean? You can stay a little bit back and parent your kids your way, and they can parent their kids their way. But when you do it in your home or in their home or whatever, it becomes personal. So there's a difference there.
I have one more thing to say. So most of the parents that go under a charter, I wouldn't say a lot of them do what Nitza does. because it's hard to find what she has, which is a tight-knit group of people that parent the same way as you do and are also willing to put in the time to maybe teach a subject. We have, a lot of you have probably heard about the enrichment centers that called Homeschool Enrichment Center. There's one in Bonita, one in Del Cerro, which is off Lake Murray Boulevard, one in Lakeside. And those ones are like an umbrella with a bunch of vendors inside that your child can attend classes, whether it be drop-off or just for a class or two. Most of the families that go to our charter do that in lieu of a co-op.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know if there's ever been a time where you have more options. Yes. There is the most options and the most creative opportunities in those options as of right now. It's amazing. Yeah.
Actually, my second quick question was for you, Gina. I think we caught something at the end where you were talking about TK. Does the TK, if they're enrolled, particularly prepare a student to be able to pass or get through that exam for kindergarten entrance?
Yeah. Okay. So we haven't had a TK or not pass yet. That reading readiness test. So it is Bob Jones. It's called K-4 curriculum. It's kindergarten for four-year-olds. It's a little TK. It's fun. The kids love it. I actually have all three boys have a kid there right now. The school is their favorite thing in the whole wide world. So it's not, don't think of it as so much academia. And they are doing tons of academics, but they are having so much fun doing it. The TK room is around the corner here. They have an entire playroom because play is so important. And but those students are extremely prepared for kindergarten.
Okay, we have another question.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for putting this together. This has been so informative, and I just want to thank everybody for that. Like many of us in this room, we are jumping for the first time into homeschooling. So my question is, what advice would you have for us parents that are, and for our kids who are doing this for the first time?
That's a great question.
You'd like everyone to answer,
yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Oh, I'll start. So typically when we, are your kids already in school? Are they school age already? Yeah, okay. To get into to start a PSP or to start your journey on a PSP, it's a mind shift for you and for your students. And so we just recommend start slow. You don't have to get in there and have them get up at 6 o'clock every morning and say the Pledge of Allegiance at 7 and, you know, and do the schedule that you did when you were in public school. You don't have to do that. You can ease them in because it's as much of a process for you as it is for them. And the goal is for our kids to love learning. Mm-hmm. And maybe some kids love the rote, you know, getting up and saying the Pledge of Allegiance and all that. I think I did that the first year I was homeschooling, which was, you know, kind of silly. But start slow. That would be the advice that I give.
So since I'm representing the independent homeschooling option, I would say choose what is easy for you to use in a curriculum that's easy for you to use and easy for your student to use, your child to use. Homeschool is not a public school. You can tailor it to your child's individual strengths, their interests. You don't have to follow a certain routine. It could be what fits into your family life. And you could start at 9 a.m. or you can start at 6 a.m. It's totally up to you. And you could take multiple breaks throughout the day or just knock it all out in a few hours and have the rest of the day free. It's there's so much freedom in it. And I would say at the end of the day, these are your children. You love them. Enjoy them. Mm-hmm. You get to spend time with them. And if they're in a private school, great. That's great, too. Because sometimes we don't want to just be alone in it and try to figure it out for ourselves. We want that support, and we want that help. And it's a place where we can make lifelong friends. So whatever option you choose coming out of the public school is going to be a great option.
So I'm actually going to share my little testimony of homeschooling. and where I fired myself. So I did have this desire to homeschool these three boys. They were young. I was teaching at Foothills. There was some change, and so Linda said, come on with me. Bottom line, it worked out that I stayed on a day so Linda could be home, but I stayed on administrating, but I pretty much homeschooled, okay, the boys. So I'm going to share how my failures with it. So for me, it was like pushing a dead horse. they were all dead horses. And three dead horses. And so I'm homeschooling them, and I'm so passionate, and I am an organized person and a driven person. But I'm just going to tell you, those three boys had no problem giving me their worst. Had no problem giving, what's the minimum I can do so I can go play? What's the, so I'm doing this for about a year and a half, and I'm like, why? They're so resistant. And I'm a disciplinarian. I have disciplined kids. But again, it was all about getting out of schoolwork in their life. And so it wasn't, we did have a co-op. I co-op with Renee, Mary, and Darcy. And we did get together and do the science digs and all that. But again, when are we done? That was their philosophy. When are we done with schoolwork? Is it a clean the house day? Is it a go to the SeaWorld day? Anyway, I'm also going to tell you, my kids academically were just normal kids. They weren't low and they weren't high. They were very average learners. And so when I fired myself and they went back to Foothills at Christmas break, I told my husband, I'm fired. And they went back to Foothills. Here's what I would say. So now they're in school. And there's 23 other kids in their class. And now it was like, Mom, they don't want to go to school without their work done. A few of you know that you don't want that. Yeah, you remember that. You don't want that because you don't get to go play. So now they want to get their work done. Mom, come help me get. So now they want me involved in their schoolwork because they are not going to go to school and look foolish. And so there was a positive peer pressure about not sitting there and have not done something that the neighbor, that you were all supposed to do. So I'm just telling, so the last thing I want to say is the middle son, Caleb, is like high school. And we're driving past our elementary school and he was looking at it. He goes, Mom, you used to threaten us. I'm going to send you back to school. I'm going to send you back to school. And that was the best thing you ever did, is send us back to school, not public school. But the day we went back, they would tell you it's the best thing we ever did. They loved it. They loved being with 23 others. And they loved going to have playtime. And they loved sports. So,
yeah. Just real quick. So what she did is she discovered what was best for her child and her children. And that's what we all need to do. Yeah, amen. So we're coming out of the public school system and we're going to decide what's the best option for our children. And every child is different. I had 7 kids. Our oldest graduated at Foothills. The next one went for most of the years, probably 50-50 through Foothills. Some of them graduated through the public school charter, and the last two actually graduated independently homeschooling. It can look different for each child, as well as each family.
Absolutely.
I think my advice would be to take it slow, but also to not be afraid to try things. Your first year is going to be trying several curriculums and finding what works best for you, and to not stress about the small things, because no gap is too big. If the curriculum's not working out, you can shift, you can pivot, you can change, because I purchased a lot of curriculum that I do not use because it just wasn't a good fit for my personality. It was too open-ended, it wasn't rigid enough, or vice versa. So I think you need to step into that first year knowing that it is not going to be perfect. The first year is going to be tricky, and you're going to figure out how your kids learn best and what makes them light up and what makes their little spark dim, that you will do less of, but just have grace for yourself. have grace for yourself. And also committing to 1 year of homeschool or 1 year of private school is not putting them through college. This is a commitment that you are stepping into out of faith. And I feel like you will be blessed for it. And you are not saying, I'm going to do it forever. You know, most of us are, even with my kids, I communicate to them, this is something that we pray about every single year. And we'll see the doors that God might open as far as going back to private school. If that's what they want and we feel like it would be a good fit, then we might. And we're not closed to that at all. But don't be afraid to make mistakes. Learn alongside your kids and try things out.
They said so much. I want to be first next time. I mean, everything they said is accurate. It's not forever. We've always left it on the table for our kids. Like, let us know if you want to go back. Mm-hmm. My husband's a pastor on staff here, so they have lots of friends that go to Foothills. So it's kind of been like, if that's something that really interests you, that we're always open for discussion. I think the advice, back to your question, is don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, we teach the parenting class and we tell people this is as much growing for you as it is them. And you can correct. Parents are so afraid that what if my kid end up spoiled or in this case not smart, and so they clamp down. And the truth is you have time and you can course correct, and that's a beautiful thing. And God is gracious, and you guys just being here means that you're listening to the voice of God, and that's a good start. So you guys are doing well. You guys are trying it out. Take advantage of talking. Everybody's going to hang out. Ask all the questions you could ask. Ask people who homeschool. Ask people who go to Foothills. I mean, look at, Sandy and I are both saying we've done multiple options. Like, we've tried different things, and now I'm entering college. And, you know, she was a person that I asked questions to when I was doing it. And we loved Foothills when we went. That wasn't an easy go away because those are all my friends that are there and going. And so to step away from that was hard. And so it's okay. You can try it, and you can say, for this year, we're going to do it. It's so important to bring your kids. If they're old enough, my kids were in third and fourth grade. K-1, 2, 3. Yeah, they were in those grades. We entered them in the conversation. If they're 4 years old, it's kind of hard. But we entered them in. How do you feel? What would you want? I mean, my kids were like, when we asked them, they said they wanted hot lunch and Bravos, which Bravos are the award system that they have. And hot lunch was like once a week. And that's what they wanted brought into their homeschool if we homeschooled. And play dates. And so I did. I committed for 1 year to have play dates with their friends once a month, to make sure that they had that. It was an easy let go for them. And so they loved it after that. So don't be afraid would be my advice.
And I would say, too, all of these options involve at least some extra time at home with your kids. Those parenting classes are foundational. I've taken all of them and some of them multiple times. They will help you establish a vision for your family and routine that can make homeschool time more successful.
Thank you for plugging that. And it actually starts tomorrow.
I just asked my husband last night. I was like, honey, we've taken the parenting and child three times. I was like, should we take it again? Yeah. Our littlest is six.
Because every kid's so different and you hear something different. We love teaching it because it's held us accountable to the things with our kids. Mm-hmm. So,
Because
they're so different.
We learn something new every time.
Yeah.
So you guys talked about what to do, like committing to a year, whatever option you choose. For those people who have control over their curriculum and their times and their schedules, what do they do if they're 2 weeks in and they're like, oh my gosh, this isn't working? And how do they know if it's not working and they need to put a change in?
You'll know. Yeah, if there's tears, you know. I mean, you'll know. I tend to be a little bit more on the rigid side. It's my temperament, type A, recovering type A with five kids, right? Because you can no longer live that way. So I think, like, I tend to push harder. But for example, this year I was using Bob Jones English. I took everything from the school and copycatted it for the most part. And then I slowly transitioned, but I kept a couple things.
This year, Bob Jones, English just didn't work for us. And I've never really been one to change curriculums mid-school, and I'm like, I can't do it. It was difficult for all of us, and it was like, it's okay. We're going to go back to what we were going back to, or what we used to do, or whatever the case is. So I think you'll know.
Anybody else want to answer that question? If you don't, that's okay.
I mean, I want to say that you can still cry and not know. I mean, I feel like the first year, you're probably going to put in some emotion, because you're going to feel like your kids are maybe missing out. My son was like, I miss my friends. But is, you know, the playground time enough for me to pay tuition for 5 kids? You know, like, he wasn't missing. So it's figuring out what works best. So there's going to be transition time. I wouldn't say if you're crying in the first couple months that you give up on it. I would say you go to the Lord, you seek mentorship with people who are doing it. There's so many people in this church that are homeschooling with a charter, without a charter, or are in the private. So you will easily find someone who can come alongside you. Because I wouldn't give up right away on it until you've tried a few things. Mm-hmm. Switch curriculums or sought out help. Yeah, I'm done.
I wanted to say also, comparison is the thief of joy. When you have the ability to pick curriculum and your friend's son is in one grade higher and all these things, and all of a sudden you feel like, I suck. And it is just wrong. So it is really knowing who you are in Christ and what he's called you to do when you're in the midst of this. And so, you know, get advice and all of that, but you will know your family best. It's too multifaceted to try to cookie cutter this kind of homeschool life.
I just thought of one thing that I think is a helpful tool. Is there agreement between you and your husband? Too, there needs to be agreement. I've met with people where the wife wants Christian school or the wife wants to homeschool and the husband's absolutely not. You know, I tell them, you need to be on your knees praying. But you can't go rogue from your husband. You got to have agreement with your husband on your choice. Because if you agree, then you are going to have those days of frustration, but he's going to come alongside and support you. And say, you know, we can do this, and be uplifting whatever decision you made. So there needs to be agreement between you and your husband.
There's a lot of power in unity. And like I said earlier, you know, I like what Brittany said. She said, give it a few months. So in a couple of weeks, you might be crying in a puddle on the floor because you're like, this is so hard. I can't get the kid out of bed. I can't get them to sit down. I can't get, you know, like, it just feels impossible. But like I said, make it easy for yourself, easy for them. And it's that first beginning step is a discovery time. Mm-hmm. You're discovering your parent, your teaching style, what works for you as a parent. What used to work for her, she switched curriculum because it just didn't work now with the ages that the kids are or the grade level that they're in, whatever that change was. She's discovering what's good for her as the teacher to her kids, and then what's going to work for her kids, because everyone's so individual. And as you pointed out earlier, Jane, that we don't have to run it like a public school or even like a private school. They have to start at a certain time. I mean, we can't just let everybody trickle in, you know? It's a school. So, you know, what's going to work for your day? Are you scheduling yourself in a way that wouldn't be natural to how you would schedule your day? You have to think of those things. So if it starts to go awry right away, it may not mean that you're just a horrible teacher, they're terrible kids. It might mean there's some adjustments that need to be made. And if you are in agreement with your spouse and there's power in that unity, you guys can talk about it and say, what do we need to do different? Mm-hmm. And start from there, which is why when they say, give it a year, see how it goes, because things will mellow out and change and shift, and you're going to make changes. And as Nitza said, if you're taking in from other families, like, what do you do, or how do you address this, then that's fantastic. But then piecemeal together what's going to work for you and your family and your kids.
Well, the only thing I would tag on to that is we all know how curriculum works, and finishing the book is not always you know. Oh, Christian High doesn't even finish their books. Because the end of the book is review. The beginning of the book is review from the year before. So give yourself some grace about that. And we tend to look at it as mastery of the subject. And you as a parent, if you're homeschooling with a PSP or independently, you as the parent are deciding whether, you know, world geography has been mastered. That's up to you. It's not what the book says or whatever. That's up to you. And so that's what I would say, is just give yourself a break on that.
Do you guys have any questions? Okay. I did want to ask one question too. Gina, you touched on it. I've been asked this a lot. What if my spouse doesn't agree with me? Do you guys have any other advice you can give?
I think I said mine. You got to pray, and I've seen it. So I just want to tell you, I've met with many, many moms that have been in that predicament. And I ask them not to keep asking, but just keep going to the Lord and keep going to the Lord. And it is shocking and beautiful. I won't name a name, but I have a close friend that would come up on Sunday morning, and John and I would pray with her. And her kids are all in. Her thing is, her husband believed in public education. He's like, that's what was just fine for me. It was just fine. And so obviously, I couldn't agree. The one option we all agree is not fine is public education. But her husband didn't feel like that. And we would pray with her. She kept praying. All four of her kids are at Christian schools. Mm-hmm. So God is faithful.
I would say too, alongside prayer, also making sure that he knows what it looks like, because so many of us, myself included, think of homeschool as what homeschool was 30 years ago, and it is quite frankly not that. There are so many options, so come bring him alongside maybe a family or friend that is doing it, who can speak to it to him, a dinner date with another couple who is entering into what you want to do, so that he can kind of see what it means to dive into that. Because I think a lot of it is just the conception of what homeschool is, or him thinking that too much is going to fall on you. But if you have help or co-ops, or you plan to put them in some classes, making sure that he knows that those options are also available.
And this goes both ways. I've known moms who are scared to homeschool too. So
yeah, my husband wanted it before I did. But he wasn't going to force me to do it, because I would be the one that has to do it. So that was an easier solve than the other way around. I think everything Gina said is accurate. I think prayer is everything. I love what you said, Brittany. I think showing your husband, having a plan, you know, they're the protectors of the home. And so getting you guys to understand that, you know, this is how it's going to look and this is how it goes, and they'll, you know, have the option for college or whatever your guys' end goal together is, that's there in place, and he knows that you're working toward it, is a great thing. I had something else to say about a husband. They're great. We really like them. It's gone. If it comes back, I'll take the mic.
Do you want to ask your question?
Are the charter schools faith-based?
These? No, not ours. No. If you're aligning with a charter, they're typically a public school charter. So no, they are not faith-based. You can do whatever curriculum you would like and keep it faith-based within your home, but the charter itself is not faith-based. And actually, we've come a long way, because last year you weren't even allowed to do Christian curriculum. It kind of had to be on the DL. Now you can tell us, yes, we're using Christian curriculum. And there are a few lawsuits actually happening right now, religious discrimination lawsuits. So down the pike, there might be more open doors for that, for spending funds on faith-based curriculum. But for now, you are under a public charter if you choose to go with the charter.
Mm-hmm. So you have to buy your Christian
curriculum. Yeah, so you buy your own Christian curriculum. But I was going to say, sadly and maybe gladly for me, the minimal it's such a minimal requirement of what you turn in that you're teaching your kids that stuff anyways. So let's say they ask you, so you turn in something once a month, elementary age, you turn in a work sample. They tell you, you're gonna turn in history this month. they're going to write about Abraham Lincoln. That's great. You're going to teach them that anyways. So it's not like you're telling them to write about Jesus. But you could do that too. And now this year they're allowing you. So in the past you were rejected of that, but there were so many other things you could write about. But now you can turn it in. They're journal entries or whatever. They ask you once a month to turn in science. You're teaching them the basics of science anyway. So my point is it's a really minimal requirement, junior high and down. High school, it just skyrockets, and I pull my kids out once they hit high school because I won't be under that.
Okay. As did I years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a question specifically about Foothills. What's the test entry requirement, or what does that look like for kindergarten?
So we do, for kindergarten, it's called a reading readiness test, so they do not have to read. I'll be very specific. We'd like them to be able to write their name. They write their name on the test. They're going to be asked questions like, what's the opposite of this? It's very preschool. There are kids that don't pass every year. Some of it is like dexterity. They're going to have lines. Can they follow? They're just saying, or do they have the maturity to formation of all those letters? So they're going to test them on visual acuity. So they're going to take a letter, and here's the letter, and they're going to turn it sideways, upside down, backwards. Can they see the one that just matches? I mean, again, they don't even know the name of the letter. They don't need to know what that letter says. They're just trying to see visual acuity. So it is a reading readiness test. It's very preschool. Most of the kids pass. It is shockingly accurate. So last year, we had one not pass, and it was barely, so we said we can retest in August. So we retest, because you know why we did that? He was on the older side. So it wasn't a good one to say, hey, wait till they're six. He was going to turn six in the fall, so he was already old. So we went ahead and retested him, and he did pass. He's our one not doing well right now in the kindergarten class. Like, he's struggling with reading. So the test must have been detecting something. And so now we're on a different journey with him. But because sometimes you have dyslexic kids and you got to do something different, and that's okay. So does that answer your question about the reading readiness test? Most of the kids pass. Sometimes those four-year-olds that haven't turned five yet in summer, they struggle a little more because it's a maturity test. It's not, yeah.
Oh, what would be the best option if we discovered that our child had like a learning delay or learning disability or maybe a special need later on down the line?
Anyways, and could you also include, you to answer that, what if you have a student that you know is far below grade level and they're going to need extra support? So if you guys can answer that.
I'll start by saying, in those that went into our group, the reading is a huge issue. So if you're coming at kindergarten, we don't know it's an issue yet. Okay, so that's fine. And we deal with that. But let me talk about like those that are thinking about coming in the middle. We were saying if they're 2 years behind in reading, we give them back their money because we don't want them to come and drowned. And the class is moving forward. We're not, so I would say if you have a student that's really behind or needs something, homeschooling is a better option because you can tailor the education just for that child. Where we're going to open up next Tuesday, we're going to open up the math book to lesson 101, regardless of that one, So the Foothill School or even Christian education as a whole does not offer what public school has, this PLAP program and that and the psychiatrist, and we don't have that. So we're definitely not optimal for when someone's really behind.
Now, if you were independently homeschooling your child and they're struggling in math or they're struggling in English to be at grade level, it's a beautiful thing because you can do a grade level below. And maybe they are struggling in English, but they're excelling in math. Well, then you're a grade level ahead in math and you're a grade below in English. But nobody knows. You're not in a lockstep classroom. So they're not embarrassed. Nobody else knows. They're not holding up a class. They're not having to keep up and still continuing to fall behind. This is an opportunity. And some kids in grade school, apart from having a learning disability, they'll then catch up. They might be slower right here, and then boom, they're fine and they catch up. It really depends on the child. Now, if you have a child that has a learning disability, maybe it's with speech, or you discover, oh, I think they might be dyslexic, you now will have to go search and seek out speech therapists, the assessment testing for dyslexia and things like that. You're going to have to research that, because again, like Gina said, we don't have the resources at home like a public school has, where you could just walk down the hall to the office and say, I think my kid's struggling. So that'll be on you to do the research for that. But I mean, it's your child. You're going to want to do it. You love them. So, and there are people out there who can come alongside and tutor your child in that. So the resources are out there. Absolutely. To be found.
So I do want to point out, Foothills Elementary, not the high school and middle, we do have a resource teacher on staff that deals with dyslexia. So that's our only pull-out program. And she does pull kids. But so but speech is never, we have kids receiving speech therapy, and it's great. It's never a problem. Speech, they get over it, they get past it. But there are other issues that we sometimes will grow in, and we don't have, you know, something for it. So we definitely can't service everyone. Where Brittany is going to have a lot more.
Yeah, if you align with a public charter, we can do all of the assessments. We have IEPs, we have 504s, we have all of that available. It's going to look similar to the public school as far as the assessments go. Finding the needs, we're going to meet with your child in person with the correct people to assess them to see if they qualify for special ed services. And then if they do qualify, they will be put on an IEP, they will be given the case manager, they will be given accommodations and all of those things. We have the only catch with our school for now, which might change in the future, is all of the help for them is going to be online. So they're going to be meeting in small group or one-on-one, depending on their need, with the correct people, but it's not in person. So all the assessment does take place. We withhold those IEPs with really high standards. We still do all of the regular meetings, but it will be a virtual help. So, and if your student does come in below grade level, I think was the other question, they can work below grade level. Your teacher is going to be making sure that they're exposed to grade level standards. That's our job, to be making sure of that. But of course, you're working at your own pace at home. So there's so much more grace. You're one sample a month. You know, you're going to choose your student's best work, and you're going to turn that in, and you're going to say, we are struggling with this. And that's why you have a credentialed teacher who can help you. We have several programs, too, where your child can go to extra classes or be given an online program to help with their gaps and help close those gaps. So working alongside a credentialed teacher will help you to close the gaps more quickly, but you also have the grace to do it in your own home. There's not this pull-out stigma, any of that.
I think I would just add that you can get tutors. So this isn't necessarily for people that are struggling with dyslexia or something like that. But if your student is just struggling in math or reading or, you know, Spanish or whatever, you can get tutors through school funds. So you don't have to pay for it. But if you were private affidavit, you'd have to pay for it. But that's another option too. Sometimes they just need, you know, long division's a beast. It's a beast. And so, you know, maybe that's the time you say, just to get through this, because I heard actually teaching your kids to read, I mean, is unbelievably hard. I'm just going to affirm anybody that's doing that. You're like, it's a C, you know, it can be difficult. But the point is there's just the resources are available. They're there for you and available. It's spectacular.
Yeah, hi. I would just piggyback on those and say, learning how to read. Elementary is hard, because teaching your child how to read can take 3 or 4 years in some cases. But then when you get to high school, people are afraid of high school, and I counsel high school projections, there's just certain things you have to do in 4 years. So get the stuff done in 4 years. And I sit down with the student too and say, here it is. You want to take 4 years to do this, or you want to do this in 2 years? It's up to you. But anyway, that's a different subject. But as far as special needs, I will say with your larger PSPs, there's a lot of people who have a lot of kids with special needs. So you have a resource in other parents in a large PSP. And I would, a lot of people say, you know, she used the term IEP, if you don't know what that is, that's an individualized educational program. And we like to say, okay, all our kids in Heritage have an individualized educational program. That's what you're doing. You're creating that for your student. Now, I'm not making light of the fact of special needs and what they can provide, because that's a big deal. But to have the resource, to have the community of like-minded thinkers that have gone through dyslexia and vision therapy and, you know, all the various things that can happen. We have a lot of people who have special needs children.
Now, before we end today, I would like to say, my kids all learned to read in kindergarten, homeschooling. So listen, the school of tomorrow, ABCs with AC and Christy is excellent. This program was created for people in the mission field. And there are these little workbook packets, and the learning to read portion is brilliant, and my kids did well. We loved it, and when they learned their certain letters that they could string together in little words, and they had to read the little words on the page, I got mini M&Ms or a little gummy bear. So, my kids loved it. And I'd say, okay, for every word you read correct, you get the little mini M&M or the little chocolate chip, and then they earned it, and they were reading halfway through the year. So, Mike, it depends on the, and my kids all love to read. They're all readers, so maybe it just depends on the family and the child. But it's individual.
about the reading, there's a great book. No. There was a great book I read, Better Late Than Early. Bottom line is, some physiologically, they're going to become great readers, and they actually are probably very smart. My boys, all three, were not ready to read at 5 years old. Very hard for them. It came by junior high, they were all readers. Two of them have their master's degree. They're obviously readers. But I'll tell you, as a young boy, they were not ready to read. So maybe that's why homeschooling was so hard for me, because they just, at that young age. But that just tells you again what we've been saying the whole time. They're all different. They're all unique. And you as a mom, with the Lord's help, in great prayer of asking God for wisdom for that individual child, you're going to succeed at whatever you choose.
Yes. So we are a little bit over time. 6 minutes. I want to respect the child care workers. So I'm going to pray in just a second. But before I pray, I just want to put your attention over here on the resource tables. I used to be a reading intervention specialist, so you can come see me and Sandy if you're interested in homeschooling and you're trying to teach reading. We have some curriculum and homeschool resources over here. We have the parent resource table. If you are interested in homeschooling and you want to know what kind of resources we have for you, especially a lot of legal and group resources where you can join with like-minded families, stop by. More coffee if you need it, if you're desperate. We have some Foothills Ministries and resources, including children's ministry. So one of the big questions is, will my kid be weird? Well, no, not if you get them involved in groups at church. That's the answer. So we have stuff from different ministries, not only for your kids, but also for you as families, moms, dads. You guys have unique needs. And here we have Raising Arrows, which is our homeschool ministry at Foothills. They do have a homeschool moms retreat coming up before the school year starts. If you're interested, check it out. I'm going to pray for us, and then you guys got to go get your kids. But the resource tables will be open as long as you're here. So just bring your kids back in and come chat with us. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness in our life. Lord, you're so faithful to lead us and guide us. You're gentle the way that you nudge us, and you always open the path that you lead us down. I pray today that you would give each of us wisdom and discernment. And when we feel you leading us, Lord, would we walk down that road with confidence and faith, continually looking to you for encouragement and direction as we steward the children that you have given us. Lord, they are yours, and they are just under our care for a time, Lord. We want to honor you with the roles that you've given us, Lord. Would you be blessed and honored in our lives and here this afternoon as we continue to desire to honor you with our choices. In your name, amen. Go get your kids.